here in TBC most weeks, we've been working through the Gospel of John this year, and this is the last of those sermons. We haven't got to the end of the Gospel of John, but we thought that we would take a break for a little while because we've done John for an entire year, so we're going to do something Christmassy for the next few weeks and then something different after Christmas. But we've got to an absolutely fantastic passage in John chapter 14, and I think a very appropriate passage for baptism service. So if you want to follow in the Red Bibles, we're on page 1000 and Paul needs new glasses, 1082, and I'm starting at the beginning of chapter 14. And it's in quote marks because Jesus is speaking at that point. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Being lost, not knowing the way to somewhere, they're things that we've pretty much consigned to the history books, haven't we? Because with GPS, we've kind of done away with all of that. That whole experience of not knowing where you are, not knowing how to get to where it is that you want to be. Those are things that are really something from the past these days. Along with the experience that some of you may have known of driving around a roundabout 15 times while the navigator sat next to you says, once more, I'm going to work it out. All those warm, romantic moments when failing to successfully navigate somehow brought husband and wife closer together in... yeah, you've been there. And then came sat-nav. And sat-nav delivered us from that, and all of those problems went away. Well, sort of. Actually, not for my parents. My parents bought a sat-nav. My dad's quite into his gadgets. My parents bought a sat-nav when they first came out, and one of the first times they used their sat-nav was to go to Stansted Airport. And so they typed in Stansted, and they entrusted themselves to the technology, and off they went. It turns out that there are two Stansteds in the UK. And they worked this out after they'd been driving for about 4 hours to an airport which is about 90 minutes away from their home. Even in this modern age, it's possible to be lost and not know the way. And it's a miserable place to be. I am the way and the truth and the life, said Jesus. And it's one of his most famous statements about himself. But it's also a complete game changer. It also changed everything. Because in that one statement, Jesus was giving a completely new answer to a question that people have been asking for as long as there have been people. How do you find God? What's the way to God? And 2,000 years ago, there was no shortage of answers to that question. Actually, that hasn't changed very much now, has it? Because, in a way, that question is right at the heart, or it's the driving force, if you like, of all religion. How do I find God? And you know, there's 1,000 different methods to choose from. There's different prayers to say. There's different disciplines to follow. There's different ways to meditate. There's different deep truths to learn. There's different levels you can progress through. There's different rituals to perform. Ways that I can try to find my way to God. And Jesus came along and he offered something fundamentally different. Because he came saying, the way to God isn't a method or a system or a ritual or a discipline. It's me. It's me. So Jesus came to abolish religion and replace it with relationship. And let me try to explain what I mean by that. Let me try to explain the difference. Have you ever had a message from somebody, maybe a text message or a WhatsApp or something on Facebook, had a message from somebody that's sort of out of the blue, and it's maybe somebody that you've not heard from in a while, or maybe somebody that you see quite often, but you just weren't expecting that kind of message. And it says something like this. It says, hey, you were just on my mind. How are you? Let's catch up. And that probably doesn't happen enough, actually, does it? We get messages like that. When you get home, send a couple of messages to friends that you haven't seen for a while. You'll make their entire week. Because it does, doesn't it? If you get a message like that out of the blue from somebody, it does something inside us. It means a lot. When you know that that person is thinking of you, when you know that they care, when you know that somebody wants to talk to you and hear what you have got to say, that's a special moment. So imagine you received that message and it brightened your day up, as it would, and then imagine a week later you got exactly the same message. I mean, word for word, the same message. And then a week after that, and after a while, you start to look at the timestamps on these messages and you realise that they're sent at exactly the same time on the same day every single week. And every week it comes in, it says, hey, you were just on my mind. How are you doing? Let's catch up. And after a few weeks, you start to realise that this person has either set an alarm on their phone that says, send that you were just on my mind text now, or they've found a way to automate the whole process so their phone just sends those messages without them having to think about it. And suddenly, it doesn't seem quite so personal anymore, does it? Suddenly, it doesn't feel anything like as meaningful anymore. And suddenly, it doesn't seem like friendship anymore. The other person is just going through the motions. And that is religion from God's perspective. That's religion from God's point of view. Religion is us going through the motions because we feel like we should. Or because God won't like us if we don't. Or because someone somewhere told us to be afraid of the repercussions if we stop. And so we go through the motions. And it's so empty. And Jesus came to scrap it forever and to replace it with a relationship with himself, because he's not interested in people going through the motions. He's not interested in you and I ticking the religious boxes. He wants to know us personally, because none of that other stuff is the way for us to God. He is. And if you read ahead to the next chapter in John's Gospel, we'd hear Jesus saying to his followers, I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. That's what he longs for with each of us. Friendship, connection, conversation, relationship. That's what he's looking for. Never just going through the motions of the religious machine, because that's empty. He's looking for relationship. I found a picture online this week that I really quite liked. So David, have we got this able to pop up on the screen? Religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. Anyone been there? Relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. I'm not saying we should all skip church next week and go fishing. That's not where I'm coming from. But you understand the difference. Religion is just going through the motions when your heart's far from it. And relationship is when that relationship is there 24/7 because you love him. Not because you've got to, but because you want to. And that relationship with Jesus That's what Susie's found. And that's why she's done what she's done this morning. So Jesus came to be the way. He also came to be the truth. And it's election week. I am not going to get party political this morning. But we have seen some strange things done to the idea of truth in the political world in the last few years, haven't we? We've seen some strange things done to the idea of truth. There's a new word that's been introduced to the dictionary in the last 10 years. If you don't believe me, go home and look this up. The word is truthiness. Truthiness. And what truthiness means is something that gets presented as true despite the fact that all the facts contradict it. It's a recognised thing. It's got a name of its own. It's called truthiness. And basically, somebody says it's true because they feel that it's true, even if all the facts disagree. Truthiness is the truth you want, not the truth that actually is, presented as though it's a fact. And it may not have escaped your notice that some of our politicians wrap themselves in an impenetrable layer of truthiness pretty much all of the time. But you know what? Some people adopt a truthiness approach to faith. It normally gets introduced something like this. I've got my own faith. I've got my own faith. And what that means, generally, is I've picked out the bits of Christianity that I really like, and I've thrown the rest away. And I've mixed in a couple of bits from other religions that I'm quite fond of, and I've stirred in a really cool motto from a motivational post on Facebook that I really like, and a couple of ideas of my own that I really want to be true, and now I've got my own faith. And you know, the thing about truth, the thing about real truth, is that we can't pick and mix the bits that we would like to be true. Something's true if it's true, if it's true. And if it's not true, it's a lie. We don't get to pick and mix. And we can't create our own reality any more than we can let politicians get away with creating their own reality. We've got to look for what is actually real. And do you know what? Jesus took exactly the same view. Jesus took exactly the same view. He never, ever asked people to throw their brains away and follow him blindly. You will never find, read through the Gospels, you will never find Jesus saying, don't think about it, just believe. Just throw your brain away and do what I say. He never did that. In fact, a couple of verses after what I just read a few moments ago, he encouraged people to look for the evidence that what he was saying was true. It's in verse 11, if you've still got the page open, if you want to read it. In effect, what Jesus said was, check out the miracles, check the evidence. There's the evidence to help you believe. Check it out. Test whether it's real. Talk to people. Find out whether it's true. My own story, my own journey to faith, included a lot of checking the facts. Because I'm a scientist by background, and when I became a Christian at the age of 16 or 17 or whatever I was, there was no way that I was going to give my life to any kind of faith just because somebody else said it was true. I wasn't going to do that. And I certainly wasn't going to do it just because the whole idea gave me a warm feeling deep down inside. I wanted to know whether it was real. I wanted to know whether the facts actually stacked up. We know that there was a man called Jesus who lived in Judea 2,000 years ago. The historical evidence for that is enormous. That's not just from Christian historians, that's from historians from all sorts of different backgrounds, including people that deny that Jesus was anything more than a human being. There's immense evidence that a man called Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and that he was executed by the Romans and that his followers claimed very shortly afterwards that he was raised from the dead. We know that as historical fact. And so it seemed to me as I was making a journey into faith that the most important question was this. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Or did he stay dead? Because if he didn't rise from the dead, then the whole history of Christianity and the church and the whole shebang all collapses like a pile of cards and it's worthless. But if he did rise from the dead, then he can only be the Son of God. And suddenly, if he did rise from the dead, suddenly all my other questions become a little bit secondary because what really matters is knowing him and knowing what he says. if he is the Son of God. And so I read a lot of books. I found out as much as I could about the history and the archaeology and the facts and the things that pointed to the resurrection being true. And I also started checking out the stories of some of my crazy friends who were Christians at that time, who told me that they'd met Jesus and knew him and that he was alive in their lives. And I started to see whether that all added up. And here's the thing. I am not trying to convince you, if you don't yet know Jesus, I'm not trying to convince you with what I found out. I am trying to convince you to find out. Go and ask those questions. Go and look for the facts. Go and look for the evidence. There's a verse in the Psalms in the Old Testament that says this: taste and see that the Lord is good. Which simply means find out for yourself. Give it a try. See whether he is who he says he is. If you're going to decide that Jesus isn't the truth, well, fine. You're free to make your own decisions, but do it from a point of having checked him out and checked out the facts and the history and the evidence, rather than believing your own truthiness on the whole subject. Check out the facts. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And a couple of weeks ago, when we were reading earlier in John's Gospel, we heard Jesus say, "I have come to give life, and life in all of its fullness." The richest, deepest, most fulfilling, most meaningful life possible. Life lived in close relationship with the one who designed the entire universe. The one who died for us and rose again. And the one who invites each one of us on an adventure of being involved in what he's doing in the world around us. Of being part of what he's doing on earth. And there is no more life-filled life than that. Than living in connection, in relationship with the God who made you. And that's what God has got in store for every single one of us. That's what he longs for us to have. And the way to that life? Well, Jesus is the way to that life. And that's what Susie's discovered. And that's what she was giving testimony to this morning. And if you don't understand it, if you don't understand why she would want to do that strange thing under the water, if you're wondering why she's taken this step, whether you think it's a really cool thing or whether you think it's a pretty weird thing, ask her. Find out. Find out. We haven't brainwashed her, I promise you, and nor have Monty's. It's not our style, it's not theirs, and if you know Susie at all, you know it wouldn't be possible anyway. Find out. What she's found is something real. She's found the way and the truth and the life. And if you don't yet know him, I want to encourage you to discover the same for yourself. Find out. Let's pray together, shall we? What we do in this church, when we spend some time with God, we expect him to talk and we expect him to sometimes challenge us to do things. And I'm not going to ask anyone to do anything public today, but I am going to ask you to make a mental note and put your hand up on the inside so God knows if it's you. It may be that God has tapped you on the shoulder today and said, "Yeah, you need to find out some more. You've been keeping me at arm's length. You've been writing me off, and it's your own truthiness you've been hiding behind." And it may be that God's challenging you to ask some questions and find out the truth. And if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to do anything public, but I am going to encourage you on the inside, say, "Yes, Lord, I will find out." And it may be that you're much further along that journey and you've reached a point where you want to say, "You know what? I do know that he's the way. I do know that he's the truth. I do know that he's the life. And today's the day that I need to sign on the dotted line and say, 'Yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you.'" And if that's you, then please come and have a chat with one of us straight after the service. Come and chat to Astrid. Come and chat to me. Come and chat to John Oliver. Come and chat to one of us and let us know that that's what you want to do. Father, thank you for what we've heard this morning from Susie of a life changed because Jesus came into her life. And thank you for what we've just read in the Bible, that Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. And that fullness of life is something that you offer to every single one of us. Lord, help us to throw away anything that we're doing out of just empty ritual or because we're in the habit of it. Lord, we want to know you. We want to have that close relationship with you. And to do nothing just out of habit. And we want to know your truth. And I want to pray for every person that's asking questions, honest questions about who you are and what you're like and whether you're true. Lord, I want to pray that you'd meet them in those questions. Thank you that they don't have to hide those questions from you. You don't push them away because they've got questions. Lord, I want to pray that you'd meet them in those questions. And that you would start to give them answers that make sense. And evidence that they can hold on to that you truly are the Son of God. And I pray that you draw others to knowing that fullness of life that you want us to all have. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.